I can't even begin to tell you how good it is to be here this morning, to look out across the faces and see, wow, for 2 years to stare at you guys and you guys have to stare at me and to see what God has done. God has been so good. And I hope you know that. How many years did we spend, Doreen, looking? A long time, 2-3 years. And going through everything we went through and you hitting a deer and totaling your van and spending, going through people. And it's amazing that how God works, because there were some men that we almost brought here. And at the last minute, boy, door shut quickly. And to bring the man that he's brought, Vince, the man that he called here, and what Vince has done here, I hope you appreciate him and show your appreciation and let him know how much you appreciate him, because he is a godly man and has a passion for you guys, which is what Grace needed. God knew that. And so I hope I read that, Vince, if you're listening, the way you wrote that. I want to share with you a little bit. Wow, it's early. Do I have till 12 o'clock? You guys are getting out early today. For the past couple of weeks, I've been working on what to share. He contacted me a while ago and asked me if I would share, and I thought, yeah, I'll come and share. I wanted to speak on last days. I wanted to preach on last days scripture, but he didn't give me that message, and so it's kind of related to that. But I feel like, if you're like me, I don't watch much news anymore. Does anyone still watch the news? I don't. I don't watch much news. We don't turn the TV on a whole lot. And if it wasn't for my mom sharing our cable, we probably wouldn't even have TV at all, because we've decided that we don't really watch much TV. But if you've not noticed, or if you've just come back from some other country, things are pretty bad here in our world that we're living in America. I don't know if we're living in last days. People ask me, are we living in the last days? I don't know. I don't know if these are last days or not. But I know that what Scripture tells us about last days, and I just finished up a book reading on As It Was in the Days of Noah, a tremendous book that parallels our world today with the world of Noah. And we all know Jesus told us that in the last days it would be as it was in the days of Noah. Boy, I tell you, it's amazing the parallel that you see and how it was in Noah's world and how it is in our world. I never thought I would see the day in America, an Olympic hero that we lived and we idolized for the triathlon would get a gender sex change and it would dominate the media. And he would be called courageous and a hero. I never thought I'd see that day in America. You know, we had a girl, if you remember the girl that played basketball, Lauren Hill, I think was her name, that fought brain cancer and played that last game. And many people said, this couldn't be the person that you give the courageous award to when you give it to Bruce, or now Caitlin Jenner. Never thought I'd see that day. I never thought I'd see the day that I would actually see on video Christians being beheaded by ISIS, and that make national news, and no one's concerned about that. No one's concerned that these are Christians. You don't even hear that the word that they were Christians being beheaded. And we don't even use the word radical Islam. I never thought I'd see the day that businesses in America would actually be come in and kind of be blindsided and ask, if a gay couple asked you to do their wedding, would you provide pizzas? And they just simply say, we believe in traditional marriages, and be shut down for being open about what they believe. I never thought I'd see that in America, that we could not speak out and just say, we're for traditional marriage in America. If you do that in many cities, you will be put down and ostracized, and your business almost be shut down. I never thought I'd see the day that violence would rule our streets, as in Baltimore and Ferguson. And I think there's more coming. I don't think that's the end of these. I think we're going to see more and more of that here in America, over cops doing their jobs. I never thought I'd see the day in America that sexual depravity would be cheered. Not long ago, there was a young girl that was raped on spring break, and many hundreds and hundreds of people stood around and watched and videotaped it and cheered in America. I never thought I'd see the day when young people Couldn't tell you the first president was, or not only just young people, but a lot of people couldn't tell you the first president was, or what our Constitution really stands for, or that what $18 trillion in debt means to our livelihood and what our national security is going to look like. But they can tell you who Kim Kardashian is and what she wore yesterday, or Keanu West, whatever, what's his name? Keenan West, and what he wears, or where the clubs that he frequents. But we shouldn't be surprised by these events. It shouldn't shock us and upset us much as to what's going on in our world, because Jesus told us and warned us that in the last days there will be terrible, terrible times will come. And even Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, you guys know this well, he said, in the last days, know this, Timothy, that in the last days very difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves and their money. They'll be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel, have no interest in doing what's good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than love God. And if I had a checklist and I went off all those things that are happening in our world, I'm pretty sure that every single one of those would probably be checked off of the list. Now that I've depressed you and brought you down, let me give you some good news. Because believe it or not, in the world we live in, there is good news. We live in a world that this is not our final resting place. The question this morning is, how do we live out our Christian faith in such times as these? How do we live out our Christian faith if these are indeed the last days? And I don't know whether they are or not. I'm not here to debate that. Could be. But I know one thing, that we're called to live a certain life. And how do we do that in the days that we're living, in the society that we're living in, and the culture that we're surrounded? And I think you'll find the answer in Colossians chapter 3. If you'll turn with me into Colossians chapter 3, and Vince usually has you do something. When you get there to Colossians chapter 3, look at your neighbor and say, God is good. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. That's way back there past Ephesians, past Galatians, before you get to the Hebrews and Thessalonians. It's kind of a little chapter stuck in there. Is everybody there? Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3. I just want to see if you're... See, Vince told me to mess you guys up, and I'm doing a pretty good job already. Colossians chapter 3. What? Now, I'm not picked on you yet like Vince told me to do. Colossians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. I think this is a good guide as to what we should be doing in these days that lie ahead. And I don't think things are going to get any better. I don't think we're going to see things get much better. And again, I'm not trying to depress you. I'm just trying to warn you and prepare you and to show you how we need to be as Christians in the days that lie ahead. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Father, this morning as we look into your word, and as we've already examined what's going on around us, Father, you know exactly what's going on in our world, you know what's going on in our country, you know what lies ahead. And so, Father, this morning, as we look into your word, I pray that we can glean out some of the things that you would have us know and some of the things that we need to be doing to live the lives that you've called us to do. Father, you've called us to be salt. You've called us to be light. And Father, I'm so ashamed that the Church of America has not been the salt that you've called us to be. And we've not been the light that we need to be. And so, Father, I pray for a renewal. I pray for a revival. I pray for God's people to become that salt, to become the light that you've called us to be, if these are the last days. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we live our faith in a world that we live in? How do we live out our faith? How do we be Christians in the world that we're living in? The very first thing that we're going to look at here in verse 1, we need to focus as we go through our world, as we go through our day, we need to focus on the new life that we have in Christ. In verse 1, it says in a Living Translation, it says, we've been raised to new life with Christ. We can get so sidetracked and we can get so bogged down with what's going on around us that we forget what Christ has done for us. Do you stop and think about what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross when you accepted Him? Do you realize that He took this corrupted body that we all have, this corrupted nature that we have, this sin-filled nature that we had that we could do nothing about? There's nothing we can do for the nature that we were born with. And He died for us and for our sins, so that He could take away all that junk in our lives. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He promised to never leave nor forsake me. Do you realize the promises that we have in this word? When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, the things that you are privy to, the benefits that we have, we don't think about those things. We take them for granted, just like we do with a lot of things in our human nature. But He came in and He cleansed us and He wiped away our sins. And not only did He take our sins away, but it says He cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. All those things that I did in my previous life before I was saved are gone. And He doesn't remember them. I wish I could do that in my life. I wish I could forgive people and forget. But I'm human. I think a lot of you are the same way. We may forgive people, but it's tough to forget. Do you realize God forgets them? And someday when we're standing before Him, and someday when we're standing in judgment and He looks at us, He's not going to remember any of those things we did, because He's taken them away from us and cast them into that sea of forgetfulness. And all He's going to see is the blood that's been applied by Jesus Christ, and say, enter in, welcome, you good and faithful servant. He did that for us. And we need to think about that. That's part of our new life that we have in Him, that He forgave us and doesn't remember those things anymore. He's never going to leave us, no matter what we go through in our lives, no matter what we face day to day. Jesus Christ will never leave us. And I'm looking around and I can see some faces right now that's been through some pretty tough stuff, because I've seen your post on Facebook, and I know what you've gone through. And I love to see where you're so thankful that God has been faithful, that He's been with you every step of the way. Has God ever let anyone down? Let me just see your hand. Has anyone ever been let down by God so far? Don't look to me or anyone else, because you know what? We'll let you down. We're human. But there's one person that will never, ever let us down, and that's Jesus Christ. He will be there through the thick and thin. And that means you may face death. We're all going to face death someday. We're going to cross over. But even in those times that we do that last breath, He is there with us, taking us through. What a promise that is in this new life that we have. He gives me power daily to live victorious over sin and death each and every day. I need that power every day in my lives. I don't know about you, but there's some days I need a little bit more power than I need. And it's a day by day, step by step, sometimes a minute by minute thing that I need Him. And He's always there giving me what I need. He's building me a home someday. Jesus told His disciples, I'm going away, but where I go, you'll soon be able to come, because I'm going away to build you a home. Where I go, you'll go with me. I'll come back and get you. Do you realize that not only in this life has He taken our sins away from us, not only has He cleansed us, not only does He give us power to live day by day and does He heal us, but He's also preparing a place for us someday that we're all going to go and be there forever and never face any other trial or temptation again. That ought to make us shout. That's part of that new life that we have. And so in overcoming this world around us, in overcoming what we see around us daily and not get too bogged down by what's going on, we need to realize what Jesus Christ has done for us and this new life that we have in Him. Every day, morning by morning, new mercies I see. When working with teens, it's hard to convince them that their past is gone. I know we used to, Marla and I were teen leaders, and we would do promise rings and promise necklaces. And the hardest kids to work with the kids with a tough past. It's hard to convince a girl that had already lost, she'd been with other boys, to try and tell her that, you know what, you're a new creature. And even though your past is in the past, you can still take this promise ring and on your wedding night give it to your husband because you are a clean new person now. It's hard to convince them that they're a new person. It's hard to convince a young man that had been in drugs and alcohol and all kinds of wicked stuff that he is a new person. Sometimes it's hardest to forgive ourselves. God can forgive us, but harder to forgive ourselves of the things that we've done. You got to let stuff go. That just bogs you down and weights you down and keeps you from being the person that you are. God's forgot about it. You need to forget about it. I'm free to love those who are unlovable, free to forgive and not hold grudges. When I'm in a crowd, I don't have to worry if I fit in. It's not who I am, but whose I am. What a wonderful life this Christian life is. Don't you enjoy it? We're the happiest. We should be the happiest people on earth because of what Christ has done for us. And sometimes I look at Christians and wonder, it's no wonder other people don't want to be Christians. Think about what God has done for you. And so as we live in this world, not part of this world, but as we live in this world and maybe in the last days, we need to focus on this new life that God has given us. Point number two. In verse 2, He says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." How do we overcome this world? I've got to keep reminding myself daily as I see the news and I see us being bombarded with all the negative stuff. This world's not my final place. Thank goodness. There are constantly, I'm thinking, how do people go through this life without God? How do people do it? There's no hope. It's a wonder. It's no wonder that suicide. I mean, if this is all you have, if this is all there is, and if this is all you have to look forward to is this life, how depressing would that be? But Paul tells us here, he says, look not only the earthly things, but look to the heavenly things. I've got a buddy at work, Scott. He's about, I don't know, mid-30s, maybe late 30s, early 40s. Scott was raised Catholic. He's a big old teddy bear. His head is that big in his neck. I don't know where his neck starts and his shoulders start. Was raised Catholic. And he and I, we've connected because he was raised in South Columbus. Tells me some of the horror stories of him growing up. And he gets caught up in this world stuff with the news and the national debt and all the things going on. And he'll come in my office and he'll sit down. And one day he came in and he just was unloading and unloading and unloading. And he looked at me and he says, "Don't that ever get you down?" And I said, "Scott, if I sat around and thought about it all day, it probably would." But I said, "You know, I keep reminding myself, Scott, that this is not my final place. I've got heaven waiting for me." And he looked at me funny, and I have this huge desk. I've got a desk that's about 6 foot, and it's against the wall. And I looked at him, and I said, "You know," I said, "this here represents my life on earth." And I took my fingers and made about an inch mark. And I said, "If you could picture this desk going through that wall and continuing forever," I said, "my life," and I put it at the very edge of the corner of the desk on the left-hand side. I said, "that's my life here on this earth right now. Is about that much. And the rest of that forever that you can see is eternity that I'm going to spend with God and all my loved ones." And I got lots of questions for Paul and Peter and all the people. And I've got all eternity to talk about and ask him. But I'm going to get to see Jesus, the one who paid the price, that gave me this new life, that saved me and is seeing me through this life right now. That's what I've got to look forward to. And that's what gets me through my days. If I watch the, I've got an aunt that she's 94 years old, can't get around, and she watches CNN 24/7. The most depressing, miserable lady I've ever met. It's no wonder. She was a godly woman. She taught me in Sunday school, taught me many verses, but she spends her total life now watching news, and she's worried about everything. I thought, you know, if that's all you did, you could get depressed and worried about everything. But I don't think about what's going around me. I think someday I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. And when I leave here, because I am going to leave here, we're all going to leave here someday. We're going to go where the sun never sets, where Jesus Christ will welcome us into His kingdom. And the Bible says the better half has not yet been told. What little we know about it, what little tiny we know about it, is just a little bit of what we're actually going to experience. It's so wonderful they couldn't write all the words of what's going to happen when we get to heaven. As we live in this life, as we go from day to day, if these are the last days, we need to focus on what lies ahead, our goal, our prize. Heaven awaits us. I heard a story here not long ago of a missionary in Iraq. And you all know what's going on in Iraq with ISIS and the terrorists. And the officials, the authorities came in and they told them. They were missionaries. They were Christian missionaries. I think they were Iraqi people that had been saved. And they were there witnessing to people, sharing the gospel. And they came in and they told them. They said, ISIS is just a few miles from here. It's not safe anymore. We can't guarantee your safety. And the missionaries, the young man and woman, had children. And they told them, you've got to leave for your safety. And the guy said, God called us here. I don't know if we can leave. And the guy said, ISIS is coming. You need to get out. He said, let me pray. He said, we need to pray about it because God brought us here. I feel we need to be here. I'll let you know in the morning. And the next day, the guy comes back and he says, ISIS is going to be through here. You need to leave. And he said, we're called to be here. God wants us here. And he looked at his children and he said, you know, kids, he said, there may be a day that men come in our house with guns and knives and put them at your head and ask you if you'll deny Christ. But he said, tell them Jesus loves you. How do you do that? How do you tell your children facing death by radical Islamists that's soon to take their life, tell them Jesus loves them because he's focused on heaven. He knows that very soon, if that happens, they're all going to be sharing in the glories of God where there will be no more pain or suffering. What are we focused on this morning? What do you focus on during your day? As you go through your daily chores, as you go through your daily stuff, do you take time and realize what God has done for us, our new life that He gave us, and the hope of eternity that we're going to share someday? The third thing that I think we need to focus on, besides our new life that God has given us, the hope of heaven that we have someday. In verse 3, he says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Do you realize someday, we may see it, we may not see it, I don't know, but there is coming a day when there will be a trumpet so loud that's going to wake up the dead. It's going to shake the earth. And the heavens are going to split open and you're going to see multitudes of millions upon millions upon millions of angels pouring through the clouds into this world. And God's going to come back. And he's going to bring back, because Thessalonians tells me, he's going to bring back those who have died and are with Christ with him. I'm going to get to see my dad. We're going to get to see Carol. I miss Carol this morning sitting there and just amen and everything that I say. I miss her and Jack, but we're going to see her again. Because Thessalonians tells me, 1 Thessalonians says that when God comes back and he splits those eastern skies, not only is he going to come back with his multitude of angels, but all those who died with him are going to be with them. And we're going to be called to meet them in the air. We're going to share in that glorious day someday. And I don't know when it's going to come. I don't know. I don't care. But I know it's coming. And all I know is I'm going to be part of it. I watch TV sometimes, when I do watch TV, and I've seen the Grammys and the red carpet and the Emmys. Anybody ever been invited to one of those shindigs where you put on and they say, he's wearing Versace? look at her gown, the sheer, and it's a $3,000, $4,000 gown. I've never been invited to the ones, probably won't be, from Vinton County. I don't think any Vinton County people get invited to the Oscars or the Grammys or the Emmys or any other, the GMC Awards and all those big awards that all your famous elite Hollywoodists go to. But there's an event coming someday where there's not going to be red carpet, there's going to be gold carpet, and I'm invited to that. I'm going to be part of that. I hope those people that are at the Grammys and Emmys are going to be part of it also. I got a feeling, I don't know. But there's coming a day when I'm going to share in that glory with Him, because that's what Colossians tells me. I and you get to share in the glory of Christ when He comes back and it's all revealed. All of our works are going to be revealed. That's also what God's Word says. There's going to be a huge fire and all the stuff that doesn't mean anything is going to be burned up, and what survives is what's going to matter most, which means your 401ks aren't going to mean much, your house isn't going to mean much, your cars aren't going to mean much, how much land you've got isn't going to mean much. What you've done for Christ and His kingdom is what's going to mean the most, because that's the only thing that's going to survive. And we are going to share in His glory forever and ever. What is it that gets you through your day when you're depressed? What is it that gets you through when you see the news and you see what's going on and you shake your head and think, God, how much more can we take? How much longer are you going to wait? The Bible says God is being so patient and waiting so that everyone who has a chance to come into the kingdom will have a chance to come in. This morning in a church this size, I hope that you're in the kingdom. I hope that you already have that new life that we talked about. If you don't, you're missing out on the greatest thing in this life ever. If you don't have that new life, and it's so simple to get. ABCs from our Bible school several years ago. Admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and confess your sins and start living a new life. That's all you do. And He will come into your life. He will give you this new life that we talked about. He washes away all that crud, all that guilt, and forgives you. So if you're not in the kingdom this morning, I want to invite you here in just a few minutes. We're going to have a song. You need to come and give your life to Christ, the one who created you, the one who bought and paid for you, the one that wants to save you from your sins. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a worrier, and it bothers you, and you're not really focusing on what God has done for you, and this world is just beating you down. You can come give that to God, whatever it is, and He will take whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, the trials and temptations, and He'll see you through that. So many times in my life, I've done it on my own. I've done it my way, and I've got to where I just totally messed it up, and I totally got to the point where I said, God, you've got to take over. And He'd say, it's about time. And He takes the mess up that I've made, and He fixes it when I totally give Him control. But the hardest thing that we have as Christians is giving control of stuff, don't we? We don't want to let go. We want to control our destiny. We want to control things in our lives. And you know what? We have no control. We really don't. We don't know from when we walk out those doors here in just a few minutes if we'll get home. We don't know that. Lost a young man in our class, Bruce, and I went to school with for years, 53 years old. Just died. And we've lost several in our class at age 50. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the next few minutes. But there are guarantees in this life that He gives us, and those are the ones we need to hold on to. And if you're worrying this morning about something and you're fighting something, you're facing something, I don't know of any better place to be than in God's house this morning and turning it over to Him and saying, God, you need to take this because I can't do it anymore. Maybe you're struggling with what Paul warned us about: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, all those things that attack us in our nature every single day, and we fight every single day. Whatever it is that God's willing and able to take from you, as our musicians come forward and as we close, be obedient to God. And like I said, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today could be the most wonderful day of your life if you'll come. Father, this morning, we just want to thank You again for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for the promises that are filled in this book that we can hold on to. Lord, this morning, I just ask that you've taken these simple words that you gave me, and I pray that you have applied them to people's hearts through their ears. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning struggling, anyone here that needs a touch from you, a work in their lives, I pray that they would feel the freedom to come forward and to receive that from you. Father, we love you. We praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer, if there's anyone here this morning that wants a prayer, which maybe we pray for them, would you just raise your hand up? If you're struggling with anything, you're struggling with something, you need help in some area, just lift your hand up. God knows what that is. I don't need to know, but I can pray for you. Anyone? Thank you. Thank you. Father, this morning as we close here in this service, Father, we may leave here, but you never leave us. We may stop the worship songs and stop the praise, but Father, you never stop serving and looking after us. We're so thankful. This morning, I just pray that you would be with each and everyone as they leave here, Father. I pray a special blessing on each and every family member here. Father, for Vince and Vicky, I pray a special blessing for them. Lord, what a godly man. And I'm so thankful that you sent him here and ask you, Father, to give them rest and that you would just let them know how much we love them. He already knows how much you love him. And Father, go with us this day. And as we face the days ahead, as we face what lies ahead, whatever that is, Father, we can face tomorrow because you are with us and will never, ever leave us and give us what we need to face each and every day. We thank you for that. May we never forget that. May we dwell on that daily, what you've done for us in this new life, how you're preparing heaven for us when we leave this life, and Father, the glory that we'll share in someday. May that be our thoughts daily. And we'll never fail to praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.